I wanted the team to sing this song because it is exactly what I want to speak to you this morning. God in the making of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, pray for the word. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your wonderful blessing. God, we release your word this morning because we know that your word is life. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, guides us in our life. Father, we thank you that you said that you will watch over your word to fulfill everything, that it shall not come back void to you. This morning I pray that it will accomplish the work that it was purposed, set to do. I pray your people's hearts are open this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak. As I've always prayed, hide me, Lord, that they do not see me, they do not hear me. Your people will hear your word and hear your spirit. Lord, those who are in spirit, worship him in spirit and in truth. And we receive the word in spirit. Jesus, you said, let him who have ears hear. Father, we thank you that the ears will receive truly what you want us to hear. Lord, we are not here to have our ears tickled and wanting message that we want, but we want to hear your message, what you want us to hear. We give you praise, give you honor, give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Everybody shouted and said, amen, hallelujah. Say hello to somebody this morning, wave to them, give them a high five, elbow five, feet five, whatever kind of five you want to give them. And, you know, it's happy, it's Valentine's Day, but I want to say to your husbands, when you give your flowers to your wife, you know, it's Happy Benjamin Day. Who's Valentine anyway? Why would I give my flower to my wife and on behalf of Valentine? Hallelujah. So when you write a note, just say Happy Benjamin Day or Happy Carl Day or Happy Graham Day or whatever your name is, put it on the card. Who cares about Valentine? You give your flowers every day. You know, I gave my gave flowers to my wife on our anniversary and she was shocked. I'll tell you why. He said, Ben has never given me flowers, ever. You know, according to us Fijians and Papua New Guineans, it's just easy to plant a flower. They can just grab it off the tree or something, you know. My wife said, you know what? It is truly 2021 shifted. Ben has shifted. He's bought flowers for me. So I encourage your husbands, shift now. You'll find a lot of benefits that come with that shift. Hallelujah. All the husbands said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been on a journey of obedience and walking in obedience to the word of God. I want to be cooled down, but I don't want everything to blow me away off stage. Hallelujah. Let me just read something to you. When we were talking about Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus. When you find the revelation about the Lord Yeshua, let me just read something that really totally mesmerized me. And I just want to read it to you because I just received it and I thought, wow, this Jesus of Nazareth, money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander the Great, Caesar, and Napoleon. Without science and learning, he shed more light on things human and divine than all philosophers and scholars combined. Hallelujah. Without the eloquence of school. Hallelujah. He spoke such words of life as were never spoken before or since and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of all the great orators or poets without writing a single line. Hallelujah. That's the Yeshua that you serve. Without even picking up a pen and writing anything. He set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, and songs of praise than the whole army of great men. Ancient days and the modern times. This is the Yeshua that I want to speak to you about this morning. Hallelujah. This is the God that you can. This is the man that is the gate that Mama Alice talked about. There's no other way you can find a back road, but you'll come up to a wall. There is no other way except through this man called Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I just wanted to go, before I say that, I want to welcome all our online watchers this morning, those who are watching in Victoria and up in southern Queensland and Brisbane and even in PNG. We welcome you this morning. Hallelujah. And I want to say welcome to you this morning too. If you're new in this church this morning, I want to say be blessed. Let the word of God minister to you. And we have tea and coffee afterwards, so don't run away before we shake your hand and say hello. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the Yeshua I want to talk about. Man transformed. My message today is God is in the making of you and I. Hallelujah. Man transformed into the image of Christ is the pinnacle truth. It is the supreme revelation will for humanity. Nothing else is more true than that. When you read the four Gospels, you will find this truth chronicled and constantly repeated by Jesus and all the New Testament writers of today, of the day. Every instruction, listen to me, every instruction of righteousness points us to the standard of Christ. Every instruction of righteousness points out and points us to the standard of Christ. Christ's standard is higher than any other standard. Hallelujah. Every apostolic teaching prods us and moves us to really fulfill and manifest Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Everything. You want to know the truth about yourself and about who you are and about God, go back to Genesis. Hallelujah. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image, likeness. Image is not talking about God's face. Image is talking about God's character, his attributes, God-like. God says, let's create men the same as us. They have to think like us, move like us, talk like us, and behave like us. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Ghost, Jesus and God talking. What does this statement reveal about his purpose for humanity and prayer? This is my introduction to my message this morning. First, God created you and I to reflect his character, his personality. We were created to be like him, having his image and his likeness. Somebody say amen to that. This means we were created to have his nature. Everything that God is, you have. Why? He created you like that. Hallelujah. You are not missing anything. Everything, you are fully made in his image and in his likeness. And we are supposed to have his character, his nature, and his moral behavior, or his character, how he moves. He made mankind into his own image so love could be freely given and received between the Creator and you and I, who are the created. That means we were created, hallelujah, for something. Man can have fellowship with God because God made him, us, you and I, in his essence. That is why we are the only species, listening, that can truly worship him in spirit and in truth. No animal can worship God like you and I. The trees can't worship God because they're just 100% dirt. The animals cannot worship God because they're 100% dirt. The firmament in the skies and the stars and the moon, they can't worship God because they're 100% dirt. When God created you and I, he says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. He didn't look to any other things that he created. You are spirit that came from God. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot let other people tell you who you are in Christ. Listening to other people telling you how you should behave and how you should work, including your teacher, your professor, all the scientists in the world combined. Everything that God created was dirt. That's why you should not have any problems eating anything. Stop complaining and arguing about, oh, I don't eat that. Bless the dirt eat the dirt, because everything is made from dirt. But you are spirit. Hallelujah. Living inside a dirt suit. We cannot reveal God's image and likeness apart from a relationship with Him. No one will truly satisfy it until he or she starts to love God. God is spirit. His worshippers must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. God must be first in our lives. That's why Shift 2021, God first, was our theme for 2020 into 21. Hallelujah. The question is, who are you? And you have to answer this question, because you answer this question. And I'm talking to young people this morning, and if you're still confused and having a crisis, identity crisis, then ask yourself this question. Who are you? Hallelujah. Because if you don't answer these questions, people will make you who they think you should be or what you should be. Hallelujah. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. Death is not a tragedy. It's life without purpose. Life without knowing who you are in Christ. That's the greatest tragedy. Hallelujah. Why do you think the world is in chaos right now? It's because people do not know who they are anymore. Some think they're animals too. Some think they're dogs and cats. Some are confused. They think they're women or men. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said it. Hallelujah. And that's the greatest strategy. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Therefore, to really find your purpose, you must first find Christ. Hallelujah. Our constitution, which is what I'm holding in my hands, in subsection 2, article 20. For you religious people, it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Not only did it say, crucified with Christ. Not only did we die with Him on the cross of Calvary, we also have been what? Raised with Him. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 47, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That in the age to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. According to this passage of Scripture, we are what? Seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's your position. You fight battles. That's where you bring prayers to God. That's how you do things in faith and by the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, a lot of identity crisis. They don't know who they are in Christ or where they are seated. That is a problem inside the church. Instead of identifying with Christ, they identify with the problems that confronted them. You can tell who they are by the problems they tell you. I am a divorcee, or I am, and with due respect to people, and I am this and I am that. You are naming a problem. That's not your identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Some identify with professions. I am a lawyer, or I am a teacher. That's not you. That's what you do. Who are you in Jesus? Who are you? Hallelujah. That's your profession. That's who you, what you do. Others identify with disease. Oh, I am a diabetic. Oh, I am a this and that. And I got this. No, no, no. You are naming a disease. That's not you. That's not who you are. Hallelujah. God thinks differently about you. Never go and shake somebody's hands and tell them, I've got this. Or I am this. Or I am that. Or I've got bipolar. Or I'm ADD. Or I'm a schizo. You are naming something that you are not. Hallelujah. When we really understand our identity in Christ, who we are in Him, it changes the way we think. I thank God that I discovered that when I was a really young person. Really young, I discovered that I am different. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day, your mind has to be transformed. Renewing means to go back to the original. Start from the original, because you cannot find yourself with all these things and things that are happening around you. Education is a dangerous thing for a lot of us. That same says, when someone becomes born again, or born again Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God is in the making of us every day. Every day when you walk with a renewed mind, you are being created into His character and His image. He is in the making of you and I every single day when we go to His Word and when we pray and when we walk in obedience to His Word. Hallelujah. God calls these things that are not as they are in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. In the natural realm, God is calling us as that they exist. You cannot see it, but God can see it. That's why when he came to Gideon, he says, "Mighty man of valor." Gideon says, "Who are you talking about?" And God saw something in Gideon that nobody else saw. Listen, this is how you must see yourself in Christ. This is not time to be worrying about what people think about you and what you should behave and how you should talk. And you see, if your family hates you, you have truly transformed of Jesus. Your follower, you see, your family won't hate you because you're a Christian. Aha. Your family will hate you because you become a follower of Jesus. A follower means you follow after Jesus. Put some leg onto it. Like Mama Alice said, if you say you're a follower of Christ, then put some leg in it and walk like a true follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. What God says about us is found in His Word. Here are some of the things that we are in Christ. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You should take "we are" out and put "you." I am. I am. I have been. We are. We've been healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Or Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Yes, thank you. We are accepted. Ephesians verse 6. We have been made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We are free from sin. Romans 20 to 22. Hallelujah. That's who you are. That's what your constitution or the Bible or what God says about you. That's who you are. Don't say anything else about your life or what you are. Hallelujah. I don't think anyone on earth has used the two words, "I am," more than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that is a good sign. Why? Because he knew who he was. Nobody can change him. They tried making him become somebody else. Jesus knew who he was. Hallelujah. He said, "I am the way. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life." Hallelujah. "I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd." He knew who he was. That's why you can say, "I am a new creature." Hallelujah. "I am the righteousness of God." Hallelujah. "I am healed. I am made rich because of what he did on the cross. I am accepted." Hallelujah. "I am free from sin." That's what you should be saying every day of your life. Jesus, when Moses said, "Who should I go and tell them that you are?" He said, "I am, I am." Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to tell him anything. "I am what I am." That is what Jesus asked, a very important question. "Who do men say that I am?" Oh, hallelujah. And every answer that man gave was wrong. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" He didn't say, "Who did God say that I am?" He asked man. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And every answer that they gave was wrong. They were all guessing and second-guessing each other to truly find out who he was until Peter spoke. Who? And he said, Jesus, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, no man has ever told you that, Peter. Not even your science teacher, your math teacher, your psychologist or your doctor, or anybody has told you that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, this revelation came from my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Get the revelation of who you are from the Word of God and from what God tells you who you are. Until Peter spoke. And then he says that I am the Son of the living God. And on this revelation, he says, not you, Peter, not you. I build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail on the revelation you spoke that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. It's on that revelation that I build my church. No man. He didn't build his church on no man. He built his church on the revelation that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. People are not looking for you. They're looking for what you carry. Hallelujah. That's why, find yourself in Christ. Be content with everything you have in Christ. Stop worrying about what people think about you. Nobody likes me. I always say that all the time. When you find out that nobody likes you, your life is going to be so good. I can guarantee you that. Hallelujah. Because then you'll stop trying to go and please everybody. It'll make you change some of your friends too. What is inside of you is because the core of you is spirit. God created it and put himself inside of you. That's the character of God. Jesus Christ came to earth with a gift. He said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to earth to serve his gift. He came with a gift. Hallelujah. Everything that God has done through his redemptive work is about you. You are here because you are necessary to God. You are necessary. That's why you are alive and breathing and well and healthy and strong and healed, because you are necessary for what God in the end times that you and I are living in. Look at yourself as somebody important in the eyes of God. I said to the team, look at this church as a church that is different. We are not the same. Don't compare us with other churches, because what we do is not the way other churches do things. We are different. Why? Because when you start to walk in obedience to the Word of God, you become different. Those who truly walk according to the Word of God and obey His Word are different. There is no compromise in following Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you want to become different, that's when you start to walk like that. Your families will leave you. Your families will hate you. Your friends will don't like to hang around with you. Why? Because you are not like them anymore. You've been transformed and your likeness and your image becomes like God. God, it is in the making of you every day when you start to obey and walk in His precepts. Hallelujah. This brings me to the question, and I want you to ask the question. Am I sensing more of my identity coming from Christ as I put His words into practice? I have not stopped from talking about obeying God's word, because I believe that the only thing that stands between you and the enemy and all the crisis and everything that comes against us is true obedience to the word of God. Your obedience breaks everything that the devil throws at you. It is the most powerful concept that you can carry with you as a follower of Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to Jesus' words when he was told that his mother and his brothers were outside desiring to see him in Luke chapter 8. He says in Luke chapter 8, verse 21, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Hallelujah. In another chapter, a woman yelled out and said, blessed is the womb that birthed you, breast that nursed you. Jesus said, no. Blessed is those who hear my word and keep it. Hallelujah. the standard of Jesus Christ in our life. That's the man that I just read to you, everything that he did. Hallelujah. That's the God that you and I worship. That's the man by Christ the Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. Hallelujah. Think of all the sermons and the books we have read and on the importance of having our identity in Christ. Who we think we are determines how we live and behave. So where does your identity come from before you know Christ? Where did it come from? It came from the world. The devil told you who you were before you came to Christ. Hallelujah. Is the answer of getting to know Christ in counseling? Is it in recovery groups? Or is it in a good family or friends or some great best-selling book that you read or in a positive affirmation? No. Do you remember when you are a young person? I'm talking about every one of us that used to be young. Hallelujah. Do you remember the time when you thought that you have to measure up to a certain standard, otherwise you lose your friends because they have more things than you have? Hallelujah. When I was young, I already had a message like that subconsciously burning inside my head. If you don't measure up, you will be rejected and they will find somebody else that replace you. That's the way little people think. And if you are thinking like that right now, there's something wrong with you. Grow up. Don't think like that. The devil puts this kind of thoughts inside your head every time. Your carnal imaginations can really mess you up. But I am convinced that the devil targets our young children all the time. Because you and I used to be young and we think like that too. So I pray for your children. Continue to pray for our children. Give them the truth of the Word of God. Because when you give them the truth, when they come from school, different. Somebody has told them that they're a totally different person from the moment they leave the house to go to the school. That's why we must constantly pray for our children. I didn't have anyone to tell me the truth about who I was in Christ. So who was determining my identity? The devil was. Hallelujah. Until the day I became born again in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, the scales from my eyes dropped. All of a sudden, all this revelation about myself came from the constitution that God told me that I was. Who is in control of all the unredeemed world? Let me tell you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And who leads the world astray?" Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that the serpent of the old, called the devil and the Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Or the spirits that are running this world. That's why you and I must never listen to anybody else who is made of dust except the Spirit of God. Listen to God who is Spirit. And He tells you in His Word, in Spirit, that you are somebody in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's clear in Scripture that unless we remain in Christ through what? Obedience to Him. Our identity is being determined by Satan and the whole system that he rules. Young people, change your mindset, the way you think. You are not the same person anymore. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you don't think like your friends anymore. You don't think like your teachers anymore. You don't think like anybody else anymore, even some of your families who do not know Christ. And he uses his weapon, his evil spirits, to impart things in our minds to make us body in Christ. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 22, he tells us, "Then the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I persuade him.' And the Lord said to him," in what way? So he said, this is the Spirit now talking to God, "I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And the Lord said, "You shall persuade him, but also prevail. Go out and do so." Remember I told you that all these demons and all these devils are all in God's hands? Sometimes God allows things to happen to us to keep us humble in the things in life. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father. This is Jesus now. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him when he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. I'm bringing you some things that you should know that are happening when we are always confronted by people telling us who we are in Christ. John chapter 13, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? The devil uses spirits to put things into our minds. You see, the devil has no power over you. You've got to understand one thing. He has no power over you until you give him that power. You have the power to make choices in your life from right and from wrong. The power is in your hands. He has no control over you, but he uses thoughts and things like that to impart into your mind to make you feel like you're insignificant in God. Who is determining your identity? That's a good question to ask every day, asking questions like that. You can remain insecure as an adult, and even after much Christian counseling, but temporary results. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit is the greatest counselor. Jesus even said, he said, do not leave this place or do anything until I send the counselor to you. Hallelujah. There's only one way to find your identity in Christ, and it has got nothing to do with running to a counselor other than the Holy Ghost. I thank God that I was humble enough to seek God's face and seek the Holy Spirit in every problem that I have in life. Hallelujah. I have never sat before a counselor to counsel me about life or counsel me about anything in life, including my marriage, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that counsels me. Imagine this scenario. Jesus walks up to his disciples and says, come follow me. And they said, oh, you know, I can't, because I have a very bad upbringing and I need to go and see a counselor first before I come and follow you. This is a strong word. Hallelujah. Would we tell Jesus that his living word is not enough to help us? When you say things like that, you are telling Jesus or telling God that his word is not enough to help me in any situation that I have. But some new technique by some counselor made from dust, just like you and I, will sort things out for us. Watch out who you go and speak to. A marriage counselor may have gone through some four marriages before he counsels you. Those are the things that we need to understand, that our counsel comes from Christ and Christ alone and from his word. Most Christian counselors or counseling is based primarily on secular psychology and then just wrap it up with a few scriptures. Would God bless a car just because it's got a fish? Would a car be holy because you put Christ on it and a sticker? I love Jesus. Does it make you holy? Hallelujah. Does it make God protect your car just because you have a Christian fish sticker on it? Hallelujah. Most Christian counselors is based on that. God honor a vehicle just because it's got a person that follows after him and runs after his word and lives righteous and blameless before him. God follows after those. The psalmist trusted God in his word alone for their healing. There was no counselors and those things in those days. They survived through the word of God. Why am I bringing this to you? Because we are so much in this modern world now that we run to men when there is a problem. And we leave God and His promises and everything that He tells us who we are in Christ behind to run after somebody else's own opinion about you. Hallelujah. That's why you need to understand who you are. When we don't know, want to hear it, we run to man to scratch our itching ears and we get a placebo that never lasting results. What's a placebo? I'll tell you what a placebo is. It's a medical treatment or a procedure designed to deceive the participant of a clinical experiment. It does not contain any active ingredients, but often still produces a physical effect on the individual. That is what happens when you run to people who do not know the Word of God. People need discipline and discipleship and biblical counseling, not counseling, from men. When you finally stop looking for answers from men or clever techniques from counselors and instead start obeying His teachings, your life, guaranteed, you can take this to the bank, change dramatically and you begin to find your true identity in Jesus. Hallelujah. Your true identity doesn't come until you start to obey His Word and walk in His Word. Hallelujah. Be a person that will say the Word of God and walk with it today. Stop worrying about what people think about you. Stop worrying about people saying, oh, she's lost it. You know, they said that about me when I became a born-again Christian. Hallelujah. When I had the Spirit of God living inside of me, they said I was crazy. They told me that I was just going through a moment where I'm just going through it and I'll be coming out of it. Hallelujah. It's been 25 years. 26 years, 27 years, 28 years, 29 years, 30 years, hallelujah, of understanding who I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You received your true identity from Christ alone. And this does not happen by positive confession or trying to psych yourself up. It goes back into reading His Word, studying His Word, and then what? Applying His Word into our lives. Put some legs into it. Hallelujah. As Mama Holly said to me one time, if you love me, put some legs onto it. That's a strong word. Coffee. Somebody says, if you love me, put some legs onto it. You don't have to go and read the Bible to find out. Hallelujah. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. And he in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 to 6. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus is in you? Hallelujah. Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Before you go to any counseling, or before you ask any advice from anybody, listen to me. Read Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's God saying, that's what happens when you trust men. When you put Him aside and say His Word doesn't mean anything, trust in your own strength and in other people's strength. Then it says in verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be what? Green, hallelujah. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. This is God talking to you and comparing you to a tree that is planted near a riverside, who is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Your leaves is green. You bear fruit even in drought. Even in dry season, that tree stands there with fruit. People say, how come my tree is not doing anything and yours is growing? Because mine is connected to Christ. Hallelujah. Mine is connected to the water that comes. The water that Jesus said, I am the water of life. I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. I am the gate. That's who we should be connected to. Let me just message this morning by giving you some obstacles. Because I don't want to just give you something and then you get into some obstacles. You go, and then there's an obstacle. Well, let me give you some obstacles. There are obstacles in our life, and I've been giving you some of that. Last week I talked about unforgiveness. That's an obstacle in your life. But this morning is how we view God. I shared it in our Wednesday morning devotion. If you want to listen to that, you can go and listen. How we view God determines our beliefs, which determine our actions, which determine our destiny, and now and for all eternity. How you determine God. How do you see God? Hallelujah. That's why I was having a shower this morning, and the Holy Ghost said, tell the children that they don't go to church because of their father and their mother. They don't know God because their father and mother know God. They should know God themselves. Tell the children that they must have a relationship with me themselves. They don't have to get it from their mother or their father. From me themselves. Therefore, they'll find out who they are in Christ. Because their mother might be telling them something else. Your father may be telling you, get your revelation from God yourself. I'll tell you what the favorite scheme of the devil is. To get people heavily emphasized on one attribute of God and forgetting the other side. Listen to me. That's dangerous. Distorting the image of God is heresy. Hello, somebody. Can I hear an amen to that? If you distort the image of God, that's heresy. You're not telling God or telling people the full attributes of God. If I only recognize and talk about God's love and grace and ignore or dismiss His justice and wrath, I am defaming the person of God. I am not telling you the truth. I can't stand here and just talk about grace and love of God. You need to know the other side of God. You need to know the wrath of God. You need to hear the anger of God. You need to hear all these things so that you have a full view and perspective of who God is. The problem with us is that we speak so much about grace that we can live in sin and say, God's going to forgive me because we're under grace. I understand grace. Grace didn't bring you into the kingdom of God to keep on sinning. Grace took you out of sin into His holiness to walk blameless and righteous before Him. It is not a license for you to sin. Hallelujah. If we ignore and dismiss His justice and wrath, I am defaming the person of God and should not expect Him to be closer to me. This is serious stuff. And we're going to learn these things because these are obstacles. That's why social gospel started to creep in the church. That's why progressive Christianity is creeping into the church. Hallelujah. Our easily deserved human nature wants so badly to see the good and remain denial about the bad. We must allow God to define Himself and His attributes fully where? Through His Word. Finds Himself, all His attributes, through His Word. Hallelujah. Not just the good side. Look at the other side as well. And you will have true fear of God. You know what the Bible says? And the fear of God brings in what? Wisdom. You start to live as a wise person when you understand who God truly is. devil gives you a distorted view of God every time. And the church is full of people having distorted view of God. We must allow God to define himself. Not our favorite teacher or our favorite TV evangelist or our favorite pastor or, you don't let your pastor define God for you. Hallelujah. God defines himself through his word. Not our own favorite teacher and our crooked image of God. Jeremiah chapter 9, listen to what God says. Verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows. Hallelujah. That's God speaking to us this morning. Don't boast about anything that you have or you can do. Don't boast about all that. Boast that you know God. Boast that you have a relationship with Jesus. Boast that you are walking in holiness and blameless before God. Boast about that. Boast that God says he knows you and you know him. Because the day comes when we stand before him, he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you. It is not talking about the world. It's talking about you and I who are supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When somebody is struggling with trusting God and finding peace, it's usually because they have a distorted view of God's ways. That is why the gospel must be preached in all its fullness. Hallelujah. Including the gory bits and all the good bits and all the bad shit. Hallelujah. Don't just preach nice messages that tickle people's ears. Give them the whole thing. That is where the gospel must be preached with all its fullness, revealing all of God's attributes. Psalm 95, verse 10 to 11. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath. This is God talking. They shall not enter my rest. Every denomination represents someone who sees God differently. That's why I do not like denominations. That's why I talk about the kingdom of God all the time. Because the kingdom standard is higher than denominational standards. Jesus never came to destroy the law. He says, I came to bring the spirit of the law back into it. He came to lift the standard of the principles of the God up and tells us, wait, can you do it? Yes, you can do it because Christ lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11 says, I love the scripture, the same spirit from the dead lives and dwells where? Bodily inside of you. Hallelujah. Therefore, that same spirit will give what? Life, and life abundantly. You can have life abundantly right now, right here this morning, while you're still alive and breathing. Hallelujah. You don't need to die and have life. Have life right now and live inside the kingdom of God. Not according to some denomination standards or some doctrine standard. You live the kingdom of God because his standard is higher. Hallelujah. God is in the making of renewing us to become like him every day. Hallelujah. Judges 21 verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's exactly what is happening in the body of Christ today. Everyone does everything that is right in their own eyes, but not right. There is no such thing as a good thing in the kingdom. There's always the right thing in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Just think about this for a minute. Thousands of years and millions of test subjects, and the devil has concluded one thing. He says, if we can't stop them from believing in God, then we can at least pivot the view. Change it a little bit so that they don't truly know God and truly know the full attributes of God. Hallelujah. When you know God full, then your mindset change. You become transformed into His likeness and His image every time. When you start to understand His word, how you view God affects how you view His love, His word, His faithfulness, His ways, yourself, hallelujah, relationship, the world, money, hallelujah. If you view God, you're going to be a person of giving, hallelujah. Your dreams, your suffering, your death, sin, mercy, holiness, obedience, and the devil. When you understand God, you will understand all that. And lastly, your purpose in God. Hallelujah. Church, I want to say this to you. A proper view of God is critical and can only be attained by what? Obeying Him and depending upon His grace to Himself, make Himself known to you. Not your doctor, not your psychologist, not your teacher, your professor. God Himself will reveal Himself to you when you start to live by His word and abide by His word. Ah, I'm done. I have released everything that I want to release to you this morning. Hallelujah. Just I want you to take this seriously. We are living in a time. To the world, they call it uncertainty. But you and I have a blueprint how to live our lives, even in times of crisis, even in times that you're not sure what's going to happen in the future. You know. The Bible tells you this. Our constitution in this book tells us that we are a winner. Whether we live or whether we die, we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that, you know, if you want some prayer, come and see me. But I don't want to be praying for you because I know that God has already spoken to you through His word. I know that the anointing upon this word is in your spirit. But if you do need some prayer, I will pray for you. But I want you to rise. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to lead you. If you've walked away from God, lead you back to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except, and then no one can come to me unless the Holy Ghost brings him to me. Hallelujah. We can come to God and play lip service to God all we want. God will leave you alone. But the eternity and living true to yourself is important. Because when tough time comes, when persecution comes, then it's the word in you and it's the spirit in you that will withstand whatever that's going to come against us. Not lip service to God or lip service to come into church, or just being a churchgoer, but true living and manifesting the Word of God in our lives. Hallelujah. It's time to stop playing games with God. We are not in the season to be playing games with God. I want you to close your eyes, God, and I want you to say this prayer after me, the prayer of salvation. It is as simple as that. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go and correct yourself and make yourself well to come before God. Come as you are, yeah, with all the rubbish and all the cargo and all the all that heaviness with you. Bring it to God because He's the one that does the heavy lifting. I cannot lift anything from you. Only God can do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. If you're going through some times, tough times, I will pray for you. But first, I want to lead you to Jesus. If you walked away from God or have never been... I've never had a relationship with God, never been born again. I want to pray. I want you to close your eyes. I want to lift your hands before God. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Don't look around. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because there are people in this building that needs salvation. Hallelujah. And I will not let go of this service until you say the sinner's prayer before God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. My sin. And the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now. All my unrighteous life. I turn away from it all now. And I turn to you. Your word says, if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Jesus, I come now. Thank you for shedding your blood. For dying on the cross for me. To pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now. As my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me. And to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward,
my Lord,
lead me and guide me.
Lead me and guide me.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So that I can walk with you,
every day of my life.
Thank you for receiving me. And for forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. Yes, we give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Lord, you have made the way for us. The greatest gift that you've given us is a gift of salvation, Lord. Father, we are here because we are necessary for your word. And I pray that those who have given their hearts to Christ this morning, those who have come back into the kingdom this morning, I pray, Father God, that you watch over them. I pray that you keep them safe, O God, from the evil one. Pray that you protect them, that they grow in the church, bearing much fruit, O God. Father, I pray your blood covering upon them. Lord, that you watch over every step that they make, O God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Father, I pray that your word is sitting in the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, that we are people of obedience to your word. Thank you, Lord, that we will obey every word that comes from your mouth. That we shall not live on bread alone, as Jesus said, but we shall live on every word, every precept, every principle that comes from your word. Hallelujah. I pray your covering over your people this morning. I pray that if they are in that place, God, that you restore them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Because God, you've already done that on the cross. Restoration, redemption, already done on that cross. We are people that are seated on the right side with Jesus Christ. Lifted up and seated with Christ, hallelujah, in heavenly places. That is our identity in Christ. Father, I pray that we will not be people with identity crisis, oh God, but people that know who we are in Christ, what we were born to do. Hallelujah. That when we leave, we will be like Paul. That we will say, I have been poured out like a drink offering. I have grace. I am ready to go. That's the kind of prayer that we will pray when we truly know, Father God, that we have accomplished your will, your purpose, and your intent, oh God, on this earth. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name I pray, all God's people shouted and said, Amen, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him this morning. God is in the making of you.
You're making me more like you. Your image and your likeness here on earth. This is where I wanna be. God, in the making of me, you're making me more. And your this is where I wanna be. making, God in the making, God in the making.